We're going to wrap up our series on the 419, talking about loving our community. And Pastor Chris brought a great word to us in our first lesson, talking about loving our neighbor and being able to see people as Jesus sees them. And then Miss Betty brought a crazy good word, that's positive, I think, last week, concerning what it means to share the gospel with people. Because we can't really love people if we're not willing to share the gospel with them. Pastor Mike Acosta, in the very first weekend of this month, said to us that we as the church hold on to the most powerful and most precious and most valuable piece of information the world has ever known, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we share that with people, we're loving them in the best possible way because we're showing them how they can be reconciled to God and go to heaven. And we know this is right. We know it's right. I don't know that anyone in this room right now would say, no, that's a bad idea. But it doesn't mean it's always easy. And what's right isn't always easy. Just because it's right doesn't make it easy. And so here we are, pushing for right things. Right things sometimes are hard. Jesus was asked a question that they thought was going to be hard. And they asked him, what's the first and greatest commandment? And Jesus answers their question in Mark chapter 12, verse 29. It says, Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. But Jesus was a good preacher. And like every good preacher, he threw something in for free. He said, and the second. Hold on, Jesus, we didn't ask you about the second. We're asking you about the first and the greatest. We're not asking you about the second. But Jesus said, and the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's interesting because he is saying that loving our neighbor is second only to loving God. But it's not always easy to love our neighbor. Even though we know it's the right thing to love our neighbor, even though we know it's the right thing to spread the gospel and share the gospel, it's not always easy because love always requires sacrifice. Every single time. And today I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the sacrifice of love. And if you're a note taker in your bulletin, there's an opportunity to take some notes, and I always encourage you to do so. We're talking about the sacrifice of love. The most famous verse of Scripture is probably John 3:16. You see it on t-shirts. You see it on football players' cheeks. Thank God football season is beginning. Best amen I get every service. It's awesome. I'm playing maybe. But you see it all over the place. But there are still people who do not know what John 3:16 says. And here it is. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This is the love of God in action. Verse 17, God sent his son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. It says God loved the world. And when we see that word love, it's a word that's used very often in our world. We use it somewhat flippantly. You know, I say I love God. I love Christy, my wife. I love my dog. I love my truck. I love my boys. I love ice cream. We love these things. But we know we don't love them all the same. There are only three things in that list that I would truly sacrifice for. I would sacrifice for God. I have, and I will again. I'll sacrifice for Christy. I have. Every single day. I have. And I will again. I will again. And I'll sacrifice for my truck. I We use the word love flippantly. We say we love all kinds of things, but we don't love them all at the same level. We sacrifice for the things that we love. And our big idea today is this, that true love drives selfless living. True love drives selfless living. God loved the world, so he gave his only begotten Son. The Son loved the world, so he gave his life. He lived a life, a perfect life. And he died a death that he did not deserve in order to give salvation to those of us who do not deserve salvation. God loved, Jesus loved, and so they gave, they sacrificed. What you love, you sacrifice for. And selfless living always precedes great blessing. The great blessing of salvation that was brought to this earth by Jesus Christ, it was preceded by his selfless living. And selfless living is required by us as we reach out in love. I have three thoughts for us today. And thought number one is this, that love is chosen first. Love is chosen first. For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son. God chose love first. In fact, the book of Revelation, chapter number 13, verse number 8, tells us, it describes Jesus as the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. So before God said, "Let there be light," the salvation plan for you and I was already in progress. Before he created the worlds, a plan for you and I to be reconciled to him was already in place. He knew, because he's all-knowing, he knew that Adam and Eve would fail in the garden. They would sin. He knew that some of us would recognize that he exists and yet still keep him at arm's length. He knew that some people would even deny that he existed entirely. He knew all of this. And I've asked myself the question, if I knew before I ever had children, if I knew that some of them would love me, but then some of them would say, "I recognize you exist, but I'm going to keep you at arm's length." And then some of them would say, "I don't even have a daddy." If I knew that before I ever had children, would I still choose to have children? And yet God did. He still created man and woman. He still created us because he chose love first. Years ago, there was a mother that was in the Welsh Hills, and she was making her way to her destination when a blizzard came in and she lost track of where she was. She lost a sense of direction and she never made it to her destination. And the next day, searchers came out trying to find her, and eventually they did. They saw a great big mound of snow, and they began clearing that mound, thinking she may be under it, and in fact, she was. But what shocked them was the fact that when they removed the snow from the mound, they found her body there, and she was almost naked. And they thought, why in the world would this woman, in the middle of a blizzard, take off all her clothes? But when they moved her body, they saw that she was laying on top of a big ball of clothing. As they began to move that around, they heard a sound. They began to take that big ball of clothing apart and discovered a baby in the middle of that ball of clothing. The reason why they heard a sound is because the baby had survived the blizzard. And what they realized was that this mother, knowing that she probably could not save herself, had wrapped her child in all the clothes that he had, and then she had taken off all of her outer garments and wrapped her son in those garments as well. Then she had laid her own body on top of those garments in order to save the life of her child in the best and the only way she knew maybe could be possible. Well, that son lived. And his name was David Lord George, Lloyd George. And he became the Prime Minister of Great Britain that helped plan the fighting in World War I and ultimately the victory in World War I and helped recover from World War I. But the decision to give her life for that child was not given in the middle of a blizzard. It was given when she chose love. When she chose to love that child, suddenly she said, I'm willing to sacrifice for this child. And in that moment when sacrifice was called for, she gave it all. McCord Road Christian Church, we choose love first. It's why we sacrifice. We choose love first when we sacrifice our reputation, sharing the gospel with people that we don't know if they're going to accept what we're saying or reject what we're saying. We choose love first when we sacrifice time, providing more services for those who are, we're trying to make room at the table for people that we don't even know yet. Not too long ago, we had two services, and then we launched a third service. And within 12 months, we were at a fourth service. Now we're looking at, what do we do? Do we go to a fifth service? How do we do additional seating? We sacrifice this time because, I mean, last week we had 988 people in service. I told you that. And it's God building His family, building His house. And the question is, how do we serve the community that we're in as God brings more people in? We sacrifice financially, planning into a larger facility for people that we've not yet met. It's a sacrifice. We sacrifice energy, preparing content and systems and structures to benefit those who God is calling to become part of this faith family. It's a sacrifice. But God chose love first, and we follow His example when we choose love first. Two, we choose love first. That brings us to thought number two, that love keeps the barriers low and the value high. Keeps the barriers low and the value high. You see, natural thinking says the higher the value of something, the higher the barriers should be. I think about this in my own life. The most valuable relationship that I have is the one between my wife and I. By far the most valuable relationship in my life. So my barriers protecting that relationship are high. I don't meet with women by myself without some area of accountability or somebody being able to look in on us. I don't do it. I don't ride in a car with a woman by myself outside of my wife. I don't do it. I don't go to dinner or out to eat lunch or anywhere else for that matter with a woman aside from Christy by myself. And you might say, well, wait a minute. Isn't that inconvenient? At times, yes. Well, do you think everything's a problem? Nope. I don't think everything's a problem. But my barriers are high because my value is high. And I'm gonna put everything in the way that I can to protect the sacredness of that relationship in my life. That's how I think about it. My house, I have locks and an alarm and a great big dog. Barriers. It's how we think about it. But God makes the greatest value accessible to everyone. John 3:16, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. You see, salvation is not hard. Salvation is specific. There is one door. The way is straight and narrow. There is only the way to the Father through Jesus Christ. And outside of Him, there is no salvation. It's specific, and many people will choose to do other things and choose to go their own way. It's specific, but it's not hard. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He kept the bar low, the barrier low, and the value high. Think about this. If salvation means living an empowered life through the Holy Spirit on this earth, and then spending eternity in heaven with Christ, If that's what salvation means, then what would salvation be worth? What's the value of salvation? Anything. Everything. No matter what God asked in return for salvation, no matter what price we would be asked to pay, it would still benefit our lives. The cost-to-benefit ratio would still land on our side of that balance sheet. Because there's nothing that I have that's worth the salvation that I've been freely given and offered. It's worth anything, and it's worth everything. But he chose to keep the barriers low and keep the value high. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. McCord Road Christian Church, can I challenge us today? We choose love first, and we are dedicated to keeping the barriers low and the value high. We do that by choosing excellence in everything we do. Excellence honors God. Everything we do around here, we try to do it with excellence. If we can't do it with excellence, we say, let's not do it. Because we don't want to do things subpar. We want to bring excellence to the people of God. And we as individuals, we want to live our lives with excellence. How can we represent Christ to the world in an excellent way? So we unashamedly declare truth while holding out open arms to everyone. There's no one at the door that's there to say, you're welcome, but you're not. Everyone is welcome in the house of God. Everyone is welcome. No one is pushed away. No one is shoved out. And yet we still unashamedly declare the truth of the gospel. We reveal God's glory and power without reservation. This is a house where we can worship God as He calls us to. We're able to express the joy and the glory of God as He calls us to, in the manner that He's placed and created us to worship Him. We welcome everyone who is doubtful. We welcome everyone who is seeking. We welcome everyone who is cautious. We welcome everyone who is curious about Christ. You don't have to be certain in every aspect of faith to be welcome in this house. And we welcome those who are confident and certain and sure in their salvation. We will never shy away from challenging the status quo. We will push against the status quo in Christian living and living in general at every opportunity. We will challenge spiritual apathy. We will push against it at every level. We will challenge sin. We will never shy away from saying that sin is sin, and sin displeases God. And we will not make it more difficult to become part of this family of faith than it is to go to heaven. You might know of a situation. There are some places where they say, we believe this is what it takes to get into heaven, but if you're going to be part of our family, here's the additional rule book for your life. That's not who we're called to be. That's not who we want to be. That's not who we're going to be. It's not who we are. We will consistently encourage everyone into taking next steps in their relationship with God, and we will celebrate every step taken. That's why when we baptized those folks last week, when they came up out of the water, people were shouting and clapping and whistling and hooping and hollering and jumping and all of those things, because here are our brothers and sisters in Christ taking a next step, and we celebrate them. Why do we want to keep the barrier low and the value high? Because we are God's house. We are God's children. We are the bride of Christ. And none of this belongs to us. None of it. The seat that we're sitting in does not belong to us. The stage that I'm standing on does not belong to me. None of this belongs to us. It is Christ and Christ alone that holds all of this in his hands. And he declares the barriers. And he brings the value. What's salvation worth? It's worth anything. It's worth everything. And yet, love keeps the barriers low. And it keeps the value high. Can we say praise God for that? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And thought number three is this, that love seeks reconciliation. It seeks reconciliation. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The prodigal son's father waited for his son to come home. And when he saw him a long way off, he ran to meet him. He wasn't looking for a way to keep him out. He was looking for a way to bring him back in. And our Heavenly Father is waiting for his children. It doesn't matter how far they've gone. It doesn't matter where they've been. He is diligently seeking for ways to bring them back to him. We have one job as a church, one job. Populate heaven and depopulate hell. That's our job. You say, well, Pastor, it's really more complicated than that. No, it actually isn't. It's complicated because we're a whole bunch of complicated people trying to go in one direction, trying to do something together, trying to see a vision come to pass as one body. But God says in 1 Corinthians 5, he said salvation, and I'm paraphrasing a number of verses prior to this, verse 18. Salvation is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us, who's us? The church, those who are saved, this task. This is the job that we've been given. This is the job. This is the calling of reconciling people to him. We're doing that while working out our own salvation. So that's what complicates it. But the calling is clear. The job of the church is reconciliation. It means restoration of relationship. It means that the relationship was lost and now it's going to be brought back together. Everything else we do, everything will be better in heaven than it is on earth. Everything else we do can be done in heaven on a higher level than what we can do it right now. We're going to worship God better in heaven than we worship God right now. We're going to praise God better in heaven than we praise God right now. We're going to fellowship with the saints of God better in heaven than we do right now. Every single thing we do will be done better in heaven than we do it here on earth. But there's one thing that we're called to do that we cannot do in heaven, and we can only do on earth, and that is call people back to God. To bring people back to a Father who loves them. And this is what he says in verse 20 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. God making his appeal, his ask, his request, his desire. God is making this. He's asking this of us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Now that word plead, it grabs my attention because that's not a word that we use often. But it's talking about making ourselves vulnerable, physically, emotionally, for a spiritual purpose. It's meaning that we're not saying, if y'all really want Jesus, come on in. I don't know why I say that in a southern accent. It's not saying, well, if they really wanted to know, they could. It's up to them. Scripture is saying that we are pleading. We're saying, come on. Come on, please, please, please. Please, let me get your attention. Please, let me tell you about a Savior who loves you. Let me tell you, he wants to know you. This isn't a maybe he'll love you. He does love you. He already chose love. And now I'm pleading with you, please come back to God. It's pleading. Is it easy? No. No, it takes sacrifice. And love always takes sacrifice. True love drives selfless living. And I told you at the beginning of the sermon that I have, you know, all these things that I say I love. But there's only three that I would truly sacrifice for. I'd truly sacrifice for God. I would truly sacrifice for Christy. And I would truly sacrifice for my boys. I would truly sacrifice. I'd give anything for them. Because I love them. It's the sacrifice of love. Remember a couple years ago, Talon was driving our Honda Odyssey minivan. We'd driven this van for a number of years, and it was a good van, ran fantastic. We had paid it off the month before. How many of you know that's a good feeling? We paid off that van, and now we had a good car paid for, ready to roll. One night, our phone rings, and it's Talon, and he's like, "I've been in an accident, and I don't know what to do." And the question was not, "Son, would you send us pictures of the van real quick?" We said, "Are you okay?" "Yeah." And he was, you know, he was shaken. His emotion was high. And, "Yeah, I think I'm okay." "And is the person that you hit okay?" "I think so." "Where are you?" "We're coming. We're coming." So we get on the road. We get to where he's at and park the truck and run over to where he's at. And he's standing there and he's like, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." I said, "Ooh. Are you okay?" Yeah, I'm okay. I'm sorry." And it took me some time to get my mind wrapped around. What are you sorry about?" He said, "I'm sorry about the van." And I looked at the van and it was messed up, bad, totaled. But what he could not understand, because he's not been a father, is that the van was the furthest thing from my mind right then. I couldn't even bring it into myself to care about the van. Even telling you this story right now, I'm trying to even remember what the van looked like, because my eyes weren't focused on the van. My eyes were focused on my son, who was alive and who was healthy and he wasn't hurt. And that's what I cared about. And I think about my Father, my Heavenly Father, who looks across this world and he sees people that the transportation device of life, their life has been jammed up. Their life has hit something. They've made some bad decisions. They've made some mistakes. And man, he really hit this thing hard over here. And it twisted the front end of his life. And that's all kind of jacked up. And she's made some bad choices over here. And it slammed into that section. And that's all messed up. And the transportation of the device of life is all messed up. And we're saying, "God, do you see how that's all messed up? And do you see how that's all messed up?" And God said, hold on. I couldn't care less about all of that stuff. Is my son okay? Is my daughter okay? Are they safe? Are they alive? All he wants to do is bring his children back to him and say, "Welcome home." That's the only desire of our Father. Welcome home. The resources doesn't matter. "Well, it's going to take money to replace that van." It's going to be paperwork. You're going to have to deal with insurance companies. Is my son okay? And the Father is saying to you and I, we have the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring salvation message to his children who he wants home. Do you bow your heads with me? It's a sacrifice. The question is, do we love enough to sacrifice for His children? I know it's heavy. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you right now to use us for your glory. I pray that you would cause our minds to receive what you're calling us to. Open up our eyes to see the opportunities that are before us. In your word, you called us to bless even the least of these, you call them. And we often think of the least of these as the orphan, the poor, the widow, the destitute. And all of those people qualify for being the least of these. But who is more destitute than the one who does not know you, God? Covered in your salvation. I would say no one. They're the most destitute of all. So isn't a resource issue? Not if we love. It isn't a sacrifice issue, not if we love. I'm so thankful that you loved us. That you gave. Give us the courage. Give us the wisdom. Give us the understanding to love as you love. True love drives selfless living. I thank you today in Jesus' name.